Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Off the ball breakfast.
Have you peaked too soon, Sarah? That's the question in the comments this morning.
No, we have not. That was a desperate second half. 7 points in the second half.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
All right, after a grand old stretch in the evening, why not stretch it out a little bit longer? Good evening, everybody. Welcome to League of Ireland Late Night. It's Cameron here once again. Delighted to have so many of you along again for another talk through the week that was and the night that was in all things League of Ireland. Plenty to get through on and off the pitch tonight. Plenty of talking points as well coming from various circles throughout the league this week. I am delighted to say that given it's Masters Week, I am joined by the hole-in-one, that is Shane Keegan. Good evening, Shane.
Jesus, that was a stretch, but I'll take it, yeah?
Take the compliment, my goodness.
Why not? I don't get too many of them.
And the open face club, a sandwich, that's Johnny Ward. Good evening, Johnny.
He's insulted. He won't talk again. He's insulted.
No, that little bit of interference there, I'll take his. Hello, there you are.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
I can indeed. How are things?
Not too bad. Not to take people behind the curtain, but Johnny said he wasn't at a game tonight, but he sounds like he's very much out and about. Are you, Johnny?
I am actually in transit, just on the way back. I was working in Ballinrobe earlier, watched the Shells Bows game on Virgin. So, yeah, on the way home, if that's out and about for me these days, I'm afraid.
Very good, very good. Well, we'll ask you about the football, less so Ballinrobe Rays, as good as they are. And talk through some of the results tonight in both the Premier Division and the First Division, because lots happening this evening. Even though it didn't really look it, we were approaching halftime and there were no goals in the Premier Division and all goals in the First Division. And I was starting to think maybe our live commentary games on the Off the Ball afternoon news talk should be in the First Division from now on. But I'm happy to report that there were plenty of goals and a little bit of a gap forming in the Premier Division table. So, Drogheda, top. They were 1-0 down to Derry City, and then after scoring the goal for Derry, Liam Boyce very generously went and got a red card. So they were down to 10 men. And less than a minute after he scored that one, 3-1 was how it finished for the Clareton Blues in the Brandywell. That has sent them top. St. Pat's are just behind them in second. They were 2-0 winners over Cork City at Turner's Cross. Shelburne, Meepo Adebeko got the goal For them, they claimed the bragging rights over Bohemians in the North Dublin Derby. 1-0 was how it finished at Talca. And Shamrock Rovers, unbeaten in five now, after winning 2-0 at home to Waterford at Tallaght Stadium in the 8 o'clock kickoff. In the First Division, you had Bray Wanderers running out 2-1 winners over Treaty United. I'm sure we will get the thoughts of Seagull chat later on that one. Dundalk are still on top. They are very much starting to stretch their legs and move further out in front of the rest of the pack. 1-0 win over Cove Ramblers, 7 points clear at the top this evening. Kerry got a 3-0 win over Athlone Town, and it finished Wexford 2, Finn Harps 2 at Ferry Carrick Park. I suppose, Shane Keegan, you were probably watching the game on Virgin Media tonight, which was also the live commentary game on the Off the Ball app. Jonathan Higgins and Conan Byrne very dutifully taking us through that one.
I wasn't, to be honest with you, no. I was kind of out and about, similar to Johnny. I was out and about and trying to keep an eye on a couple of different things. So I was very much reliant on my Twitter feed tonight, if I'm completely honest, Cameron. But like you say, a lot happening. Like, I know we keep going there, but we keep going there because we have to keep going there. This Drogheda United story is just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Every week you're waiting for reality to kick in and the slide to start and results to drop off. And we're just going to have to keep waiting. Now, like you said, with a serious slice of helping hand from Liam Boyce tonight. I mean, as a manager, that would make your head explode, Cameron. Like, what on earth was he thinking? What on earth was he thinking? It just one of the most ridiculous, pointless red cards I've seen. But it still needs Drogheda to go and capitalise on it. And Conor Keighley is very much the, I suppose, who didn't really have to go back to the old Chelsea days, the John Terry of the League of Ireland Premier Division, is he at the moment?
Maybe. Did he turn up in full kit for last year's final, even though he didn't get on?
Well, listen, he's a serious, look, he always has been a serious aerial threat, but fair play to him. But look, what an absolutely outstanding result. Don't know if we have any Derry City callers on. I'd definitely be interested to hear from them. I'd imagine that can't have been a happy place at the final whistle. Really, really can't have been. Yeah, like you say, the other stories, Pats are pouring, Rovers are pouring, you know, took the two of them longer to get going than we would have expected, but they've absolutely hit their stride now. And if it wasn't for a rampaging Drogheda, we would probably be talking about the three we expected at the start of the season, kind of taking a little bit longer than we thought to get going, but essentially those, the cream rising to the top, in terms of Derry, Rovers and Pats. Pats, Shells and Rovers. But yeah, Drogheda just continues to be the story. Bit of light as well for Sligo. They have to be gaining some confidence from seeing Cork and maybe to a slightly lesser extent Waterford's struggles as well. If they could go and shock Johnny's boys tomorrow night, would they be off the bottom? I think they would.
Yeah, I'll have to have a look here. No, they will still be bottom just on goal difference, but it would certainly put them in a bit of, it'll put a brighter complexion after round one, you'd have to feel. But it is true what you're saying, Shane. I mean, one of these things is not like the other from a pre-season preview point of view with Drogheda, and yet they're top. They've answered every question. I thought when they went a goal down, it's going to come unstuck at the Brandywell, and probably more on the Brandywell and the pitch, as we talked about on the League of Ireland pod, or Nathan, Vinny and Gareth, I should say, we're talking about later. But if you have an opinion tonight, we want to hear from you, whether you're at a game on this glorious evening or like us, sitting inside enjoying it on TV. We want to hear from you. So you're 90% of the way there. If you have a thought, a question, whatever you want, just hit the bottom left-hand corner. The microphone will let you request to speak this evening and you can get going. So I guess, where do you start with how that game went in Talca Park, Shane? Because on the one hand, it's champions performance. That's what Keith Tracy said on the commentary on Virgin. It was, look, it wasn't pretty, but they got the job done. But for the opening 48 minutes, however long that first half was, it was a pretty tough watch.
Yeah, but I think by the sounds of things, that could be said about every single game in the Premier Division tonight, Cameron.
Yeah, that's fair.
It was pretty much little to nothing that happened across. Listen, you know, it's the old cliche, you really don't give a shit how the game looked when you come out on the winning side of it. But that very, very much applies to it stands up in a game like this for Shells. The only thing that mattered, you know, this was a potential banana skin. It's a game, they're playing against a team who are, I was going to say struggling, but have shown a bit more form of recent. And like it simply is just get the points, find your way to get it done. I'm looking at some of the stats here from the game. Neither team even managed to get close to a goal on the XG. The goal itself, I'm sure most people have seen, was extremely scrappy, but the final piece of the scrap came from a man who badly needed it, I suppose. You know, we were all kind of excited about Meepo early on, and then it kind of dropped off for him. The excitement dropped off for him, and he's been out of the team in recent weeks. As we know, with I mean, they've got so many options up there, in fairness. You could argue, like, I don't think Martin even started tonight, and yet Meepo still wasn't in the starting lineup. I think it was Harry Wood, maybe the partner Sean Boyd up top. So it shows how much he's kind of fallen from grace there from his early position at the start of the season, where lads were saying this guy could be top goal scorer. But look, opportunity presented itself tonight, not the prettiest, but he managed to get the goal, badly needed for the team to get over the line, and badly needed for his own confidence probably as well.
Yeah, I suppose, Johnny, it is a really important goal from Meepo and from Shell's point of view, because they had a lot of players back tonight. They were, I'd say, Shell fans are pretty happy to see Sean Gannon and Sean Boyd back on the pitch. And if you can edge out what was a scrappy enough Dublin derby 1-0, you'll take that. After the first round of games, given how it's gone and given how they started this season, and maybe just went off the boil ever so slightly in the last couple of games, to only beat like in third and 2 points off the top, you take that as Damien Duff, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he'd be very happy. Like, it sort of felt like the night where he started to get in shape with, like, basically almost expecting things happening. Albeit, you know, the Bookmakers have been were heavily against Rada, and
Johnny, we might get you to just jump back on the line, because the line isn't very good there. So we'll try and reestablish that, just to see if we can get you a bit clearer and hear your no doubt erudite opinions. No, it's still just a little bit distorted. Tell you what, if you leave the call and come back, it might solve it. Yeah, like in terms of the rest of the league, Shane, from tonight, and we will definitely hear from Shane Kennedy, I'm sure, later on to give us the Shell's perspective. I'm sure he was at Talca Park tonight. But you look at the other results tonight, Pats winning 2-0 at Cork City. Difficult place to go, but Cork's worries will really begin to mount now that Rory Keaton is out for the season. But with Pats winning and Drogheda winning, and now Shamrock Rovers, I think, especially with the type of squad they were able to put out tonight and Mandroyu coming off the bench, that whole idea of there being something of a two-tier Premier Division this year, where you have the guys you'd expect to be mixing in at the top and maybe some of the teams at the bottom, that's really starting to develop, even though from a points perspective, it's not quite there yet.
Yeah, I'd argue three-tier, probably, to be honest with you, Cameron. I think at the start of the season, majority of people, probably bookmaker odds as well, would have said, you know, in whatever order, Pats, Shells, Shamrock Rovers, and, you know, Derry City were supposed to be up there with them, and maybe they still will be up there with them. I think lots of us had question marks, you know, based on, I suppose, the change of managerial level, some of the signs that they made. I think lots of us had question marks as to whether they would be able to keep pace with the so-called big three. And at the moment, I think those question marks would only increase, really, to be honest with you. And then you've got, I suppose, Sligo, Cork City, Waterford, and of course Drogheda were supposed to be the four at the bottom. And then you had the kind of two in between being Bowes and Galway. Which kind of way was it going to go for them? I was hedging towards Bowes trying to get into the picture up the top, whereas I thought you know, on the back in such a promising season last year that Galway might struggle to repeat it. And it's probably been proven to be the other way around so far. I've been putting a glaze on that one. Galway looked like being the ones who are capable of repeating last season and potentially going even better, whereas Bowes are the ones who have been sucked down towards that bottom group. And look, again, obviously the big anomaly here is Drogheda. Drogheda are now, I don't know, are they top tier? At worst, they look like they're going to be middle tier. And even at this early stage, I think you're can you say you're safe in saying that they're not going to be in the relegation battle? I think they're 14 points clear at Sligo. I know it's mad that that's the barometer that I'm still judging them by, but it is still the first thing I would look at if I was in Kev's shoes is, okay, what, how many points have the bottom two got? You know, and until you're kind of at a point where you're saying, yeah, they're firmly in the rearview mirror, now you can start setting your aspirations higher. Listen, he'll be speaking very differently than that in the dressing room, naturally, obviously. But going back to the point, Pats, Shells, Rovers, they're all turning along nicely. You can argue Shells are, you know, maybe not massively convincing, but, you know, the phrase of a good team is able to win games even when they're not playing superbly. That seems to have been the case again tonight. Whereas, yeah, with Pats and Rovers, it's that bit more convincing with the two of them, really, isn't it?
It is. And as you say, Drogheda are an anomaly, and it is an anomalous form that they are in. But just the one defeat in their first 9 games, Johnny, is quite an impressive start. You can't expect them to keep that pace up all season, but like those results that they've been able to get so far this year, it really is encouraging from a Drogheda perspective.
Yeah, like they were heavy outsiders tonight, but I was looking at the game beforehand. Drogheda should be further clear. Like they should have beaten Cork, and there were other games where Kev Doherty will point out this. Maybe the Galway game, he felt they should have won that. Could have beaten Pats as well. You know, you're looking should have, would have, but they're not flattered by being top at the moment. Maybe they're benefiting from some other teams not having quite gotten going yet. But Drogheda have been consistently excellent week in, week out. Very, very well organised, hard to play against. And this despite having two, maybe three of their best players out. So Darren Markey getting player of the month. They've just had an outstanding start. They go up to Derry then against a team who have a far, far, far bigger budget, but have, you know, thrown together players that are sort of coming home, maybe coming towards the end of their career in some respects, with an unproven manager when it comes to League of Ireland level. I think that was their fourth red card tonight, which is crazy stuff. Like I did hear from one of the Derry fans afterwards, like it sounded like the brandy well emptied on the third. I think Drogheda should have the start that they've made. Having just a very well coached team and a team that obviously like him for each other, but you know, some of the more sort of more exalted clubs in terms of reputation and the money that they're spending, Derry and Bowes, it was a tough night for them. Like I just wonder with Derry, like it was a gamble kind of maybe taking on Tiernan Lynch, and it's still very early days, but like this has been a poor start. That was a poor result tonight at home. They were heavy favourites. They've lost a lot of games already, and you know, it just sounded like that the crowd sort of were turning quite negative tonight. On the game I watched, Cam, the Shells Bowes game, like it was a really poor game. If you but truly neutral about it and you wanted entertainment, the pitch, like it hasn't rained much in Dublin really since probably the start of March. The talk pitch isn't too bad, but it's hard to have a very nice pitch for a game like that. Bowes obviously were happy to sit in and try and nick something on the break. What are they, one shot and target? I thought that was a massive statement win for Shells. Meepo, as Shane said, getting the goal. Like he probably maybe wasn't a game for him to start in. Like he's a lot of pace, and Bowes were going to sit in, so he'd be better maybe taking on teams that are stretched. But to score a goal as scrappy as that, from a position where it looked like it was going to be nil all, would be absolutely massive. If Shells do win the league, they'll look back on tonight as a massive 2 points gain from the position they were in. But yeah, Drogheda have been the story so far. And honestly, there is no fluke whatsoever about them being top, just at the moment anyway.
Yeah, we will get the thoughts of Jonathan Higgins, who was commentating for us tonight on the Off the Ball app at Talker Park. But let's get the view from the top now, because Seb Lennon has been patiently waiting there. Good evening, Seb. How you doing?
Well, lads, how are you?
Not too bad. It was a game where it really looked like it might have slipped away from Drogheda, and then you might have got a hand for Liam Boyce and getting that red card, but by God, did you take your chance when you got it?
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of seemed, I mean, the game was very, like, you wouldn't say, like, I mean, I think there was one shot in target up to 60 minutes, like, and that came from Derry in the first half. Like, I wouldn't say, like, there was nothing between the two teams. Derry had more of the ball, but, I mean, there was nothing happening. And then they got a goal, which was kind of, like, kind of rare for Drogheda. It was just a really poor defense. I thought Keely Yeah, I thought Dennison could have saved. It came across kind of quite poor. And then all of a sudden, then Keely, obviously the play restarted or whatever, and Keely came running out with the ball from the back. And then he was just taken down the middle of the pitch. And he was going absolutely nowhere, like nowhere. And it was a second yellow, so that was that. And yeah, took our chances after that. And Keely took, I mean, there were two excellent goals. I don't know if you've got to see them yet, but... he took them really, really well. So, yeah, I'm delighted for him. And Warren Davison as well. So, yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, I guess from your perspective, how did you find just that first half? Because it seemed pretty scrappy. There's been much made of the quality of the Brandywell pitch. And we will probably get into that maybe a little bit later. But how did Drogheda manage to kind of weather that storm early on? What was it? Because the second half, there's a lot of action, but I didn't really see much of the first half. So what did you make of that?
The first half, to be honest, was quite poor, like, in general. I thought from both teams. I thought, like, obviously, like, as I said, Derry had a good bit of the ball, but, I mean, they didn't really make much of it. I thought Drogheda, as always, kind of gets back into that back five in the four in front of them. And in fairness, the first 10 minutes, I thought Drogheda, we had a couple of chances and we got on the ball and pressed high and stuff. Then Derry, we set back comfortably and Derry didn't really do much. It was just quite poor in general. You know, there was really nothing interesting. And like speaking about the pitch, it was actually Markey went down at one stage and Warren Davis. And I actually just said to one of the lads in terms of that, you nearly just hope that I'd rather just come out with a draw and no one get injured and just get on the road. Like, you know, just in terms of injuries, particularly after Rory Keating last week and stuff like that. So, again, that's a whole other story. But, yeah, I thought the first half was just quite poor. So, in the second half, in fairness, Derry came out quite well and we didn't really get a foothold in it. And, yeah, they got their goal. And then after that, obviously, the tide shifted or whatever. But, yeah.
Cameron, I'm going to make my second Jose Mourinho Chelsea-era reference here. So I am. But, like... You remember how that Chelsea team, or arguably even more so the Inter Milan team that Mourinho had in that famous match against Barcelona, and it was almost like the last thing in the world that team wanted was to have the ball. And like Drogheda, I'm looking down through their last few games. In only one of their last six games have Drogheda had more than 30% possession of the ball. And yet the results across those six games have been fantastic. I mean, it's such an unusual style of player, such an unusual way to be successful, I suppose. But they just seem to love it, Seb. They just seem to love defending. They seem to love, you know, being pinned in is like no problem to them whatsoever. Keep coming at us. And listen, we'll pick you off on the counter or we'll pick you off on the set pieces when we get them. You'd wonder about the sustainability of it, but like, they just seem to have it off to a tee.
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, I was actually, you know what, I was on the way in the car to work this morning and I was listening to one of the podcasts with Roy Keane or whatever, and he was talking about the teams like in the Premier League about like relegation teams and how like they all just try to play out from the back and they just cannot do it. They just cannot, and they're constantly, and that's what's caused them to concede goals. And to be honest with you, I felt that from the start of last season. I don't know if you remember, like you probably do, like we were shocking, and I think a lot of it stemmed from that. We could not. We were trying to do this whole playing out from the back and stuff. But this is all to our strengths. Like, you will not see us constantly trying to play out from the back. I think we've done it there once tonight. We just go long with the ball. And, like, our strengths lie in picking up second balls. Ryan Brennan in there clearing up things. Like, then you have runners then with the two wide fullbacks and Conor Kane and Owen Lamb and stuff. Like, really, like, it's just... I think they're playing to their strengths. And I think that's what Kevin has them doing. And, like... You know, with that, like, I go back to it all the time. Like, that full-time football switch for us has been huge. Like, Ryan Brennan has never looked fitter. Like, Jarrod Markey even, who has been fantastic for us, obviously winning player of the month there last season. Like, he's just been like a new signing for us. He's been unbelievable. Shane Farrell, like, I mean, the list could go on, but I just think that full-time football has been our biggest thing, I personally think. But yeah, it's anyway, we'll take a while at last.
Johnny, there's a practicality about it, isn't there, that has to be admired. Like, you know, you get on the managerial merry-go-round and, you know, it's fair to say that, you know, a lot of managers might be looking at, you know, how am I perceived and where do I go from here and that sort of thing. And the obvious conclusion to come to is to want to play a style of football that's eye-catching and maybe, you know, gets the attention of the bigger teams if jobs came up. Like, Kev's not doing that. Kev is making his team play in a manner that gives his team the best possible chance of getting a result based on the resources that he has. It's extremely practical. I think there's a humbleness about it in that, you know, it's nobody has kind of notions above their station. And again, I just think it's outstanding. I think it's, you know, fair play.
When you look at, like, Bain's time at Drogheda with Tim Clancy, like, they were paying players like next to nothing. I mean, to the original days of Tim and Kev at Drogheda, they had no money whatsoever, and then they got up and like managed in the Premier Division to sort of to do well. You know, Kev takes over from Tim, then they kind of get some money behind them, but they stay true to the ethos of like being just a good bunch of lads, like the likes of Shane Farrell coming in. What a brilliant signing he's been, and you know, like by all accounts, the lads getting the carboys together from Dublin, they're just done well. They're just a good bunch. But then you bring in the fact that Kev himself, who's wanted to be a full-time manager for so long, you add that to the medicine that Drogheda are putting out there, and you've all the players are full-time, and they're playing to their strengths. I think, like, I think if Kev wants to get a bigger job, he'll do that by punching above his weight. I don't think it's a style issue. Like, Drogheda, you know, the way that you're describing there is a bit like United, where they kind of see possession, but they work very, very hard. But like the players that they have were all probably nearly all surplus to requirements at other clubs. So there's probably an element of the players really enjoying the fact that some of them would have been basically the likes of Shane Farrell, massive point to prove after Shells. Like, you rarely get a player who's so publicly almost humiliated by what happened at Shells. Like, and he had a massive point to prove. But then you have Keely coming in as well. You know, we spoke about Darren Markey last week, Shane. Like, Darren Markey, I couldn't believe this. He's the most tackles in the Premier Division going into the game tonight. Like, not at all like the sort of player you think from, but that's the ethos that they have, working very hard from basically front to back. And they're not going to win the league, but I will reiterate this. I've watched plenty of Drogheda. They're not at all flattered by the fact that they're top of the table at this stage. And it's just been consistently excellent performance after another. And I don't know. Like, it's a great story for me. Drogheda is a town that's really, it's really getting behind the club now. There's a great atmosphere at the games. And it's just fantastic to see.
Yeah. To be honest, just on that, like that whole club side of it, like, it's been fantastic. Like, they have got behind us, like the new owners. And I mean, there's a buzz about the place, and whatever about, you know, top of the, like, couldn't care less about anything like that. But it's like, there's just a buzz about the place with, like, you're coming in and like, and the work that Kevin's doing and stuff. It is fantastic. I actually just, before I came on, I wasn't going to come on. And then I actually read the stat. Well, I didn't read it. I went through it myself. So we have 18 points after 9 games this season. We had the same amount of points, so 18 points, after 23 games last season.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that says it all, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Well, long may it continue, Seb. It's great to have someone amongst the kind of the usual top teams coming up today, or coming up this year, and really bouncing back and capitalising on, as you say, full-time football and their FAI Cup as well. So we'll talk to you again very soon. Thanks so much for coming on. We've plenty to get through. I thought I saw Aidan there, the Derry City fan, but he's just rocked off. So hopefully we'll be able to get him on. But Jonathan Higgins was down at Talca Park this evening for the North Dublin Derby. Jonathan, I'm starting to think that maybe we should start commentating on First Division games, because every time it looked like there was going to be another nil-all draw tonight, and then Meepo steps up. What did you make it tonight?
Oh, will I go all stereotypical and get all the cliches? It was a real derby, a lot on the line. Both teams didn't want to lose, was their first ambition. A lot of tension, a lot of needle, as we talked about, between the managers and the clubs. Been highlighted prior to the game, and I suppose the game kind of reflected that. There was a huge bit of caution. It felt like both teams were really playing with the handbrake, particularly in the first half. You know, I suppose for the tactic nerds, there might have been a nice bit of clever play, but a lot of the possession was all a safety first, no penetration at all. If in doubt, go back and get back to your centre backs and restart again. And it was that on the loop, pretty much. Maybe two opportunities between the both sides at halftime. None of them were shot on target. Flores probably has the best opportunity. Beautiful ball in from the left-hand side from Tierney. And Flores appears out of no place in the penalty area. It's one of those where you kind of have to look twice to see if it actually is him. But he flashes the header just wide. And you know, like, you felt like Bowes probably needed that opportunity. Bowes really, really tired then into the second half. And it was just incessant, really, the pressure that Shelburne were putting on their opposition there. And you know, it was a bit of Shane, I'm sure if you're watching on, you probably would have loved the bit of chess match that went on between the managers, because first Rennie kind of mirrored Bowes, or he mirrored his Bowes side on the same shape that Shells had, and that gave Bowes a bit of a couple of more half opportunities, and they looked a lot brighter. They were eventually able to get out and play in the opposition half for a bit, but then Damien, you know, in typical manager style, just goes, you know what, I'm just putting on Meepo, and it completely changed it. And they just kept knocking on the door, and you felt like it was one of these, just one moment was going to be the difference, and that's what it turned out to be. It might have come across a little bit fortunate the way the opportunity came, but my God, Meepo, what a finish. Like the little shuffle back from his left kind of just kills the momentum with the defenders, and it's an old-fashioned kind of good old-fashioned toe poke. Might even have gone through a defender's legs into the bottom corner, and there's over 5,000 here, and the majority have gone home very, very happy with a vital, vital win. But Shane, I'd be curious to, without hijacking the show, to hear your opinion on it. I'm not sure if you've heard any of the interviews from Meepo, but he hasn't spoken to Damien Duff all week. I asked him afterwards there in my post-match interview, what did he say to you when you're coming on? I thought it was going to be the old, go on there and prove your point, get the winner. And he just goes, nothing. We haven't spoken all week. I find that bizarre. Have you ever been in that situation before where you've sent a manager on, or a player on, while your manager, and not spoken to him?
Yeah, I would say there's a hell of a chance that Joey might have done the talking there. You know, sometimes... Sometimes when you're not picking a player and the player feels they should be picked, it can get fairly prickly between a manager and a player. It's not unknown for that to happen, 100%. And I suppose what the manager will do when he's sending a player on in that scenario is you will turn to your assistant manager, particularly if you have somebody strong like Joey, and say, listen, have a word with that fucker and tell him to go and prove me wrong. he's going to be throwing a strop. If he's going to, you know, if he's not going to talk to me, tell him to go and fucking prove me wrong. So, and listen, that's exactly what he has done. But listen, I mean, Meepo, you know, Meepo had a reputation before he came to the League of Ireland as being, you know, a reputation probably for being difficult to handle or being spiky maybe or that sort of thing. So I think it is in his nature. But listen, I've had there's a couple of spring to mind that I'll be going into there. I've had a couple of players who have been at their best for me while being on bad terms with me. And that's fine. That works sometimes.
Yeah, like I know maybe it was the dramatic effects, but asked him, did he get any tactical advice at all? And he's like, no, just on he went. So yeah, he did tell me that they've kissed and met up afterwards. They did speak afterwards, and I think it was something along the lines, that's what you do, that's how you prove me wrong, sort of thing.
He's a striker. What tactical advice does he need? Meepo, kick ball, kick
the goal. Yeah, see those two posts down there, stick it in that. But yeah, no, huge moment for him. Like, you'd imagine, like, that's his second of the season now, if he's to push on, if you get on the team. But Sean Boyd was exceptional. Like, the negatives of our Temple's in a boot here. It looks like a long-term injury. It looks like a broken leg or broken bone of the leg, perhaps. It was kind of two in, two out. We're at that stage of the season, really, aren't we, where you're counting the effects of suspensions and injuries. But yeah, it's a huge, huge victory, because I thought it would have been curtains. I thought a draw was no good for either side, particularly from Shells. Like, too many draws, isn't there? And they have to try and keep these wins churning up, particularly at home. And they got the job done. It wasn't pretty, but yeah, job done ultimately.
Yeah, they showed a bit of depth there, all right, Jonathan, did they? Obviously, Meepo getting the goal, and just, I thought Ali Coote played a significant enough role in the build-up to the goal. You know, being able to bring lads in from the bench who are going to make a significant impact this match.
Yeah, but for all of
they look like when they come on, they really they're not sulking. They actually want to do something.
Oh yeah, no, because there was another challenge then a couple of moments ago. I think it was the next kind of attack that Bowes had. It was right in front of the dugout here, and Meepo comes flying in to charge it. Like, he takes man ball, nearly takes Damien Duff out on the challenge as well. Like, that's maybe one way to answer the thing. But it was a huge roar. Do you know what I mean? It felt like a massive moment. But for all of that I've praised Chels for showing the grit and, you know, just that incessant knocking on the door. Bowes went and they played for about 10 minutes, maybe the 5 minutes of additional time and maybe the five prior to that. And like, there's a couple of wobbly moments. One in particular, Conor Kearns, I'm sure he's nearly, we're saying he needed to reach for the defibrillator, but one ball over from the left-hand side, it's a high loopy ball and he comes out, catches it, and Rooney ends up kind of almost sitting on the ball there. It's just an almighty scramble. But there was a couple of those moments where, I suppose, that classic 1-0 derby where you have to just about do enough and then hang on at the end. But Bowes can't catch a break, even speaking to Rennie there afterwards. They just can't. All the talk in the build-up was building momentum now. I'm not quite sure, personally, you can build momentum after one victory over the basement side who are missing a load of players. But any bit of momentum that they want, they were trying to build is gone again. Like, they're back to square one. And that feels like their season, really, at the moment. They can't catch a break. And, you know, if Galway were to beat Sligo tomorrow, you feel like there's a mini bit of cutaway potentially happening there straight away, don't you?
Yeah, they're like Bowes, but ultimately I don't think Bowes really deserved that from the game. Like, they were the team that were absolutely inviting pressure on, and in fairness you could say it was a bad game, but Shells weren't not trying to play, and they did get it. Shells did get a bit lucky, that one Jonathan's on about. Like, Kearns, basically that mistake that, you know, against Rovers didn't look like scoring that night, Shamrock Rovers, but that mistake allowed them into the game. And Conor Kearns had a couple of ropey moments tonight, which he'd be lucky, he'd be happy he got away with that one. And it was like, because that would have been a big cost. He was just one of those high balls that he kind of dropped under pressure, not easy to deal with, but they sort of rode their luck. But I don't think Bowes can have any, I don't think they can have any complaints, to be honest, Jonathan.
No, because they only played for 10 minutes at the end, and they were so cautious prior to that. And the scariest part for me, from a Bowes perspective, from watching on, and I've actually seen Bowes a good few times this season, is, but tonight in particular, they completely gassed after half time. There was a period there prior to that tactical change where they mirrored the kind of the three at the back. It was just a case of sitting deep, getting the ball, humping it, and it's coming straight back on top of them as quick as it came from. They couldn't get an out ball. They looked jaded. They looked tired. That's probably the biggest concern. And yeah, like, it's a real struggle at the moment for Bowes. They just can't get a break. And I was one of the people that got a bit excited with their transfer business in the summer prior to a ball being kicked. And I thought, look, they're really going to push on now. Look at the quality players that they've signed. Look at the quality. Look at the midfield. Like, you know, you're talking about Dawson Devine, Ross Tierney, Colin Whelan. Like, the Moose wasn't involved tonight, but you're probably going on prior days with him. But even that style of the players alone, like, that's a lot of quality. And it's a lot of quality not to be to be winning games. It's a hard one to get your head around, really, isn't it? Like, and it just feels like Rennie can't catch a break at the moment, and that's very concerning from a Bowes perspective.
Yeah, it does seem like it's I don't know if it's luck or if it's self-delusion or what it is, but the problems aren't going to go away anytime soon. Listen, Jonathan, we'll let you go. We'll let you get home before they lock you in Daly Mount. And we'll talk to you again.
Yeah, no, I think I'm okay in that regard, because there's a good scatter of Shell's supporters down at the bar to my left, and I have a feeling I might be home before they venture out of the ground, let's put it that way.
And in fairness, you're not even in Daly Mount, you're in Talca, so what am I talking about? Listen, yeah. We'll let you go.
Good luck, lads. Talk to you soon.
This week on Diverted.
What have you heard about this festival?
That they fight each other. And some people in the past, they choose to die, so...
You say that they choose to die?
Some of them, because for them it's not something bad. If somebody die, for the whole community, is like an offering for Pachamama. To say thank you for what they have in life, the products, all this stuff.
In episode 3, we're going to Bolivia. As soon as I get there, this cloud of white gas starts billowing towards me.
Tear gas.
Oh my God, I can actually feel it.
Go, guys!
Go!
Diverted, coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tune in and get diverted
on Off the Ball.
This is the Call of the Crave.
The sound that tells you it's time to go to White Castle. And it can happen anytime. Like your son's first bike ride.
Dad, look, I'm doing it.
I got you, buddy. Keep going.
Dad? Dad? Dad!
Follow your crave to White Castle and get 10 cheese sliders for just $7.99 with your choice of American, cheddar, or jalapeno cheese. White Castle. Follow your crave. Limited time only at participating castles. Tax not included.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Let's hear it then. Let's get Shane Kennedy on the line after another successful outing. I'm sure he was at Talca Park. Good evening, Shane. How are you?
Be nice to come on having heard two people talk about the match before myself.
Right.
Because there's absolutely nothing lucky about that goal at all. So what, Hardy Wood plays an unbelievable pass to Evan Cafferty, who I don't know who was man of the match, but for me it was him. He's absolutely brilliant. He's 2 feet, he's just this football brain, bombs forward, right wing back, and he Dale Rooney doesn't know where to go, come with him. He checks back in on his left foot, gives it to Ali Q. Dale Rooney blocks the pass, and then the ball bounces to Boydie, I think, and your man clears it off the line and it falls to Meepo. It's a great goal. There's no few ricochets in the box because they don't want to let the cross happen and they don't want to let Boydie shoot. Like, it's a great goal.
Harry Wood, Shane, got the man of the match, the official match, man of the match award.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that either. He was back. He's back to himself. He's playing the free 10 role and he's dropping into our half. And you listen to yourself say, Shells this and that, and the people in the stands are even going back, and we're forgetting Rovers won 4 in a row with this formation, this shape. Like, they dominated the league with this formation for years. Like, Harry Wood reminded me a bit like Graham Bourke tonight. He was just everywhere, Bowles couldn't contain him. And then that pass he made, he was playing left centre of the tree because Meepo came on and Chapman went off. And then obviously it's easy pass because he's on his right foot. Well, it's not an easy pass, it's easier because he's right footed playing off the left. But the goal wasn't lucky. We controlled the game for 10 minutes of the first half and then towards the end, obviously. But we, like, the stats are 58% in our possession. Like, and that's given away the last 10 minutes of the ball.
Yeah, and I think they only had one shot on target all night, I think, didn't they?
Oh, they did have a great chance, though. I think Ross Tierney skipped past Lunny and just towards the end of the second half. I don't know if that was their shot, but I think they put it wide and then he went by Coyler as well. And I don't know who got it in the end. That was their biggest chance of the game. But even tonight, though, Paddy Barrett's out, Sam Bowen's out, Lewis Temple's a broken foot, John Martin gets injured. I don't know who else was missing. Tyreek Wilson is still out injured. You've got Coyler actually played centre half of a three tonight. Like, that's the back three are out missing. Like, that's madness.
It's mad as well, Shane, isn't it? You see, like, Damien Duff's in during the week, he'll stay there as long as he's wanted. So he'll be the manager for the next, like, 53 years or so.
Hopefully, yeah. I thought Bowles would have been better, to be honest. I thought they would have tried to control it because they've got 55 million midfielders. They just sat off us, and I don't know. I said it last year as well. Like you play Devoy and Tierney, and they're nippy little players. But I don't know how Dale Rooney plays for them. Like, I watched him for years. Like, he doesn't give anything.
How do you go about breaking down this draw to the team next week?
I don't know. I'd worry if we have Marco playing centre half against tonight. We were a bit lucky that it was only Colin Whelan and Ross Tierney and a couple of small lads. So I'd potentially worry if Marco was playing centre half against Drogheda away. I don't know, but then Boyle, to be fair, tonight wasn't great. So the smaller pitch might suit him up in Drogheda, I think. I thought Boyle struggled a bit tonight. I don't know how we break them. We just don't have to give away a silly goal. Might be higher, closer to goal with our passes. Just don't do anything. Drogheda come out early, don't they? And they are full of energy at the start of the match. Like, so hopefully we don't give away anything silly. But it'd be a great game. I'm not sure it'd be 3-5-2 against 3-5-2. I don't know, it could go either way, but just Hemble's a big loss.
Wouldn't we want, I'd be betting on being high scoring, Johnny? I don't know what you think. That I think this is going to be so, so cagey.
Yeah, well, tonight was a poor game. Like, I mean, and that was, in fairness, like to Shells, they could only do what they face, you know, tonight. The draw to one, there was a lot of men start season where kind of Shells playing two up top. That obviously has changed a little bit now that they, you know, depending on who they're playing against. But it will probably be cagey, maybe down to set pieces, and both these teams are good at set pieces. But like I'm telling you, Shane Farrell back against Shells is going to be really, really interesting. And remember, like, Drogs aren't at their best yet. Like they still have players to come back in, and I'm not even sure Shells have really gotten going yet themselves. I think they have a lot more to offer, so I wouldn't be banking on Shells beating Drogheda at all.
The only thing though that I was actually thinking is I think what's been a benefit to Drogheda is maybe it's strange the way their two best players are out injured, but they're probably not committing the players forward. Where if Douglas Taylor was up front, you might get a midfielder pushing on or a fullback pushing on because you expect them to hold the ball. Maybe they're just being a bit more deep, and obviously they're winning and making goals. Maybe the right wing back would probably bomb on. You might get a bit more space. I just thought tonight, lads, it was like watching Shamrock Rovers for the past 4 years without a Jack Bourne set piece delivery. Our delivery from set pieces was terrible. And I said it last year, like, to break those, to open up those teams, you probably need to score a header. Like, the amount of goals Dan Cleary would have gotten, or even Pico or Rory Gaffney from set pieces, Lewis Temple going off was, or being injured was probably a killer in that sense because he's about 7 foot. I thought we were very good. I don't know what people were watching. As Johnny said there, you can only play against what you're up against, and Bowes never really came out. But watch the goal back, Shane. There's nothing lucky at all about it. It's madness.
You've well and truly been duffified, so you have. You can find any little crumb to say the whole world is against us, Shane. I love it.
It's just lucky, and like I think JJ Looney actually went off injured, which was, I think it was a key moment because Bowes were starting to get in behind them, and he put McEnroy in the sixth. Well, he kind of got a bit more forward and he had a shot on the edge of the box. And I said to me, mate, I was like, JJ Looney's never in that position. Like, so we got higher up the pitch when he went off, which obviously for 90 minutes, you'd be worried about your number six being on the edge of their box. But changed the game because McEnroy is a much more forward thinking player. It was no surprise that we had Wood, Ali Q, McEnroy in midfield, and we scored.
He's a killer for Lewis Temple, Shane, isn't it?
Yeah, I seen him earlier on. I was driving around Tolkien and I was like, I'm pretty sure that's him, but he was bent over and I was like, yeah, he's in a boot on crutches. It looks like he's probably gone for a few weeks at least anyway. I would say he's broken his bone in his foot or something. There's no point in hiding that now because it's out there. Everyone probably knows it, but sure, can you actually take these pre-match reports serious at all? Like, what's the point in them anymore? You know what I mean?
Roddy Collins is on Virgin saying that Meepo is a terrible finisher.
Well, I mean, he checks back lovely. Like, he's great in front of goal. Like, he gets chances and look, he checked back lovely. He wouldn't. I think the Meepo of a few weeks ago probably would have just whacked his left foot at that.
Yeah, it was a very composed finish, considering like he could have just made a complete hash of it, and it was actually quite a composed finish. That goal could be massive for his confidence.
Huge. And he even stays back in the fans. Like, we love him. Like, we do love him. Like, he has pace, and that's what we were crying out for. And I think Jonathan said after there a minute ago that we were waiting for Bowes to kind of open up and tire, and it was a perfect substitution to make to bring us the pace. Like, but you'll definitely get chances anyways.
Any chance Shells and Drogs at the late game? Do we know what the late game is next Friday night?
I think it is, yeah. We were on 4 out of 6. I think that might be the Virgin. Drogs were at home. And
yeah, I think it might have been up Shells at this stage.
Which?
No, you can never have enough Shells, depending on who you ask, of course.
Look, the Virgin Media want the viewers, and there's no man better than the gaffer to bring the viewers into the old channel. Actually, seeing we have a premium ticket for around what it is, €45 or something to see. But conveniently, they put the seat right behind the gaffer's dugout, and I was like, it's worth the €45 alone to just sit in front of him. I kind of was on the riverside, because when the young fellas started going to the games, I would have sat behind him, and just comedy gold.
Terrific. Yeah. Just one, Shane, from someone who was at the ground. Certainly on TV, it looked like the pitch wasn't in particularly good nick. And I know there's been talk about pitches this week, but there's quite a lot of brown just on the turf there. Was that maybe the TV not telling the full story, or did the pitch look in bad?
It was definitely better than what it was. It might be sand in the middle of it, I'm not sure, but one team knocked the ball around. To be fair, the balls they countered with passes, like when they did have the chances, it was from counters. Now the pitch was no problem. Bowes just didn't want to play on it.
Well, we've got the unvarnished truth as always from Shane Kennedy there from Kyle's perspective. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again.
You get here, Nathan coming on now about Daddy. We've missed him.
No, there's unfortunately issues. Sometimes there's just issues on this, and people aren't able to come on.
Conveniently, there's issues. He's probably like, I tried, lads. But conveniently, it's,
They know better than to refuse you admission.
I've got to say, you have to hold your hand up or your hat off, take your hat off to Kev Doherty, don't you? It's unbelievable what he's doing. He was at us about 10 years ago, and he had the worst budget I think we've ever had. And everyone was like, you see a manager, he came in after own Harry. And I remember talking to him, having colleagues thing a few years ago, and had a chat with him. But you got to take your hat off. What he's doing, lads, is unbelievable with that squad.
It's well and truly whet the appetite for next weekend.
It's fair play to them, and it's they say there's no such thing as a free hit though, but they now certainly have to another 4 or 5 games have a free hit for the rest of the season.
Definitely.
And the year looks sold up already, I think.
Yeah, I think it's great to see, and I can't wait to see what they do when they cut loose from the cup as well. But we'll leave it there, Shane. Thank you so much.
Yeah, same, lads. Thank you. Cheers, lads.
Shane Kennedy has to admit that Drogheda are doing exceptionally well this year. Just a few bits to kind of pick up on, I suppose, Shane, and we didn't really get to see, I didn't see any of the goals from the Cork City Pots game tonight, but
get a look at Chris Forrester. Get a look.
Okay. Is it a classic Chris Forrester?
Super stuff. It is pretty much, edge of the box, excellent first touch, and then just top corner,
Terrific stuff. Terrific. Well, that'll be the first thing I do after this. But from a perspective, just overall for Pats, because now they're starting to maybe go through the gears a few more. You had Mason Mealy on the pitch tonight. He came off after, I think, 83 minutes on the clock. He's going to get a great run out with Aidan Keane out at the moment. But Damien Duff was talking to Nathan this week, saying that in his shoes, he'd want to be over in Spurs as soon as possible and not playing another year in Pats. And Vinny kind of echoed those sentiments this week on the League of Ireland pod in terms of, God, you'd love to see him just in at those facilities, getting a run, getting maybe some first team training. This year is just not going to be up to snuff in terms of the facilities that Pats are at, even though he's going to be under the tutelage of a really good manager. It's the facilities and everything around that might, I don't know, maybe just hold him back a year in his development. I just wanted to get your perspective on that.
I get the argument, but I disagree with it, would be where I put it. Like, you know, people need to be realistic here. Like Mason Mealy he is such a promising talent, but there's, like, honestly, and I mean this, I don't mean to sound flippant when I say this, like, there's 50 to 100 Mason Melias in England in his age group. 50 to 100 of them, easily. And he's not going to get any special treatment when he goes over there. And I wouldn't, I honestly, as far as Bannon speaking from here as well, I wouldn't expect him to be anywhere near the first team. Like, you know, it's, Bergvall, I suppose, is starting on a regular basis for Spurs at in and around his age at the moment. But Bergvall is, like, regarded as one of the best in the world at his age. Like, Mason Melia, to me, is, if he goes to Tottenham now, he's going to be maybe training with the first team a bit, fair enough, and there is an upside to that. But he's also going to get nowhere near the level of first team, proper first team exposure and experience that he's getting at the moment. He's going to be playing, you know, whatever age group they throw him in at, which, you know, I've watched these games a lot, Cameron, when you're trying to keep an eye on Irish players that might be getting released, or an English player that you might have been tipped off and that might be open for a loan move. You watch these games and they're piss poor to watch, to be honest with you. There's no reality in them at all. There's no cutting edge to them. They're, you know, I honestly think that full season this year with Pat from Mason Melia is brilliant for his development. And the one drawback that was there was that he potentially wasn't going to be a regular starter of Pat's either, because obviously what he's up against in Aidan Keane now is such a high standard player as well. But as you've said, the fact that Keane is out now means he's going to start so often. I think it's a brilliant situation for the young fella to be in. I understand the eagerness to get across there and into the environment he's going to go to over there, but listen, in terms of cutting your teeth and getting real life experience, I think this is going to stand to a massive.
All right, we'll take the thoughts of Jack Kelleher, who's been patiently waiting there. Good evening, Jack. How are things?
Not too bad, lads. Can you hear me there?
Can hear you perfectly there. I believe you're a Cork City fan, judged on a quick glance on your profile. So I suppose this was the game I wasn't watching. Shane has already advised that the goals are appointment viewing for tonight. But what did you make of the game overall? I mean, are things in a sort of post-Rory Keating, post-Johnny Maguire world optimistic, or how are you feeling?
I'll be honest, the last week now I've been quite deflated, because a big topic amongst the fan base going into the season was we knew we had a good squad with, obviously, you know, the signings, Sean Murray, Rory Keaton, Johnny Maguire, but most Cork City fans were aware that this squad is very thin. And if you look at the Cork City bench tonight, we have, I think, 5 or 6 bodies out, and you have Matthew Murray, 16-year-old, coming on tonight, David Dunn coming on last week, and our squad is just thin, bare. And I mean, tonight, we were positive in the first half. I mean, we had no striker and it was clear to see, but we were positive. But then as soon as that goal goes in, which I, if I'm not mistaken, from my part in the shed, it looked like it takes a deflection off. Still a great strike from this pass. Our heads just seem to drop immediately. And, you know, it's very deflating to see. And, you know, I mean, Keats is absolutely adored down here in Cork. You know, he's one of the very few that gets accepted by the Cork people as one of their own. But it's just very it's just so deflating as a Cork City fan, you know, seeing 2023 and seeing that all these mistakes were made with the thin bare squad, that are we making the same mistakes again? Are we naive going into the season wanting to play two up front and only having Rory Keaton and Johnny Maguire and only have his Skeeters to replace them, who's going into his first year of professional football? So, I don't know. I just think it's just very naive on Cork City.
And Jack, who did play at centre forward recently?
Well, we played a 5-3-2, and Alex Nolan and Carla Sullivan were kind of playing as split strikers with Kit Nelson in the 10 behind them.
Okay.
So there was no striker, really. And it was clear to see.
Yeah.
I heard Carlos Sullivan was very good, Jack.
He's an outstanding footballer. And I was saying it in the first division. I said, even the opposition fans are just going to credit and just be in awe of how good technically this footballer is. Like, he is, I'm telling you, lads, this fella's special. Like, he's special. Especially doing his ACL, if I'm not mistaken, in 2022. Came back from the ACL, and even with that ACL and knee problems, like over the first 5-10 yards, he's so explosive at his pace, and he's, I'll tell you lads, he's a very, very special footballer.
It is mad though, Shane, isn't it? Like that line about, you know, I had a great plan until I got punched in the guts or whatever. Like Cork City had a great plan until, like, what are they going to do up front now?
It was nowhere near close there, Johnny, just to let you know.
Yeah, so you get the gist, and it definitely involved a punch and a plan kind of going out the proverbial window. My point is though, Cameron, what does Tim Clancy do now that he's got, you know, punched in the nuts and so on?
Like I was going to make that point to Jack that, look, I get it at the moment, the squad does look bare, but I mean, how unlucky, like, if you could have picked, you know, with the exception probably of Carlos Sullivan, if you could have picked players that you didn't want to lose through injury, it's Greg Bulger, Dykesteel, Keaton and Maguire. Like they are the four that you want to be fit for as much of the season as possible to give yourselves the best chance, and all four out for different periods of time at the moment. That, you know, you take the four to five best players out of any team and it's going to look, you know, things are going to be very, very tough. So I cut them a little bit of slack there probably, but look, that's no great comfort at the moment. I assume there is kind of proper concern around the place at the moment, Jack, that you're going to have the difficult enough for the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there was very high hopes at the start of the season because, you know, we were all sceptical. There was a lot of players coming from outside of the league, Milan and Benny Couto, but Rio Shipston, Kit Nelson, to name a few. But these signings have actually turned out to be quite good. I mean, Kit Nelson's really impressed me. Rio Shipston is a midfielder that just looks like he's going to get stuck in. Milan and Beng and Benny Couto, like, where did we find these fellas? Because these lads are very, very good footballers. Like, but I'm a firm believer that is it worst case scenario right now? Injuries, but you have to prepare for worst case scenario. What I was told from a lot of sources was Tim Clancy wanted to play two up front this season. But if you're playing two up front this season, Shaunie Maguire has a history of injuries. And you have to account that, like, in my opinion, you have to account that Shaunie Maguire is going to miss 10 games a season minimum. So what are you going to do when Shaunie Maguire does miss these games? What if Keats gets suspended? You have to prepare for these scenarios. And I just think we're incredibly unlucky. I can get behind that. But again, I think you make your own luck in life. And if you just look at that squad, I would suggest everybody in this space to just look at the Cork City bench tonight. And I can assure you, out of those 9 on the bench, I'd say 7 of them are all academy players, you know? And what do we have? Only 6 bodies out and our whole bench is just full of kids. It's just... I feel bad for Tim Clancy mainly now, because Tim Clancy has now such a thin bare squad to work with. He's now down an assistant manager in Jamie Hamill, who's had to leave for personal reasons, God bless him, back to Scotland. So right now, his assistant manager is a starting midfielder in Greg Bulger, you know? And he has to work with no striker now, with a very thin bare squad in the middle on the wings as well. So, I mean, it's just... I have very high hopes going into the season, but I just hope that we get our players back as soon as possible and we just... I can't do another season in the First Division, lads. I can't. My heart can't take it.
Well, it turns out it's remarkably easy to win the First Division if you have the parachute payment and whatever else, Jack. But aside from the other two, I suppose... Like Matlock Dykesteel seems like a very big loss for you guys. Have you any word on when he's going to be back?
This is actually another thing I have to, you know, I have opinions on the squad. With Matlock Dykesteel, we actually know nothing, because I don't know what it is with our press conferences with Cork City, but we get no timelines really on when players are back. And most match nights, we're guessing. We're just out here guessing if lads are going to be back. So with Matlock Dykesteel, we actually have nothing, because we just don't.
It sounds like Galway United.
I know, we get nothing. I don't know if they're.
Yeah, it's a weird thing actually. That's that I know, like, and I know Tim Clancy's kind of found Galway United frustrated in terms of lack of info, but like, you have a bit of a duty to your fans as well, I think, to keep them updated as to how your players are. And I know at Galway United, that's just not forthcoming.
Yeah, no, it's a strange one. It's a strange one. So I'm constantly having to ask around, do the rounds, you know, asking people, oh, is there any update on Malik? Oh, is there any update on when Shani can be back? But what I think was said in the most recent presser from Tim, if I'm not mistaken, was that Shani Maguire should be back towards the end of the month. I think he's going to be back in first team training very soon. I think he's been running. He is running anyways, which is good to see. But do you know what, lads? I'm just hoping for the best now. But even Shane, were you watching the game today with the Pats game?
No, just the goals, not
the
team.
Oh, just the goals, yeah. Like, we were quite positive. Pats didn't really do anything to the goal, I'll be honest, no. I thought their main outlet was probably El Buzedi. I think he's a fantastic footballer, personally, but they weren't doing much. I mean, Freddie Anderson was kind of doing a man-marking job on Mason Melia, really kept him quiet. But then, I mean, even when all is nothing, I mean, Chris Forrester just kind of shows his class, really, you know?
Yeah, it's the strength and depth. I mean, you talked about your lack of strength and depth. Like, you flip that to what they brought on tonight. I mean, we're bringing on Mulroney, Bagley, Carty, Keane Levy, Tom Gravossi. They're the five subs who came on. Like, every, you know, no disrespect, but all five of those would be nailed on starters for you.
100%. 100%, I agree with you, Shane.
Yeah.
I was on the bus up to the game and I made this point, Shane. I actually was with my friends and I said, you see those five lads on the Pats bench, they start for us tonight.
Oh,
you know? Never mind the 11 on the pitch.
There's serious strength. Oh. Which obviously is the opposite.
Oh.
But you're going at the moment.
Yeah, the dogs of hell are barking there, so we'll let you go there, Jack.
No. Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know what's annoying him anyways, but he seems to be pretty wound up. I think he's just found out the Cork City of Leicester as well.
Well, we'll let you tend to him.
Right.
And we'll hear from you very soon again and hear things on Lee's side.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers. Thanks, Emil. And it's probably a good place to finish off because there is that rescheduled Shamrock Rovers game for Cork City this week. We will go through some of the fixtures here. So tomorrow, of course, the Connacht Derby, I'm sure Johnny Ward will be in situ for that one up in the showgrounds. On Monday is Shamrock Rovers against Cork City. There is a full round of fixtures to next Friday and next Easter Monday. The big one, of course, Drogheda United Shelburne, we've previewed here. Very, very exciting. And St. Pat's against Shamrock Rovers in the Red Line Derby. That should be an absolute cracker. To Waterford take on Sligo Rovers in what could be a very important game in terms of the survival and the relegation picture this year, as will the game between Cork City and Bohemians at Dalymount Park. And Galway United against Derry City is the one other game on Good Friday. Lots of action happening tomorrow. So as well as that game up in the showgrounds, you've got Longford Town against UCD in the men's first division. It's a full programme of fixtures in the women's Premier Division tomorrow. I suppose Piemont United versus Shamrock Rovers, the pick of the games there. That's at 5 o'clock. You've DLR Waves against Athlone Town at 3. Also at 3, Treaty taking on Sligo Rovers. Cork City take on Waterford in a Munster derby, a very rare Munster derby in the women's Prem. You've Galway United against Wexford, and then the last game, it's another Dublin derby as Bohemians take on Shelburne at 25-8. Really sorry to some of the callers who were waiting there. Unfortunately, we are bang out of time tonight for League of Ireland late night. Shane Keegan, I'll let you get back to whatever the errands you were doing and also enjoying the Masters.
Super stuff, yeah. I'm one of the not cheering on any of the Irish boys due to my 2 quid bid on Scotty Scheffler. So come on, Scotty.
Boring man. Johnny Ward, we'll let you get back up on the road and we'll hopefully see you again tomorrow on Football Saturday.
Thanks very much, Cam. Enjoy the evening.
I will indeed. And I hope you've enjoyed League of Ireland Late Night, which is, of course, in partnership with our good friends at Rockshore on Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware, visit drinkaware.ie. We'll have another episode of League of Ireland Late Night. Can't wait to hear your opinions next Friday night, once again on Good Friday. And hopefully it'll be a great Friday in the Prem and the First Division. But until then, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy what's left of the good weather. And we'll talk to you soon.
This week on Diverted.
What have you heard about this festival?
That they fight each other. And some people in the past, they choose to die. So
you say that they choose to die?
Some of them. Because for them, it's not something bad. If somebody dies, for the whole community, it's like an offering for Pachamama. To say thank you for what they have in life, the products, all this stuff.
In episode 3, we're going to Bolivia. As soon as I get there, this cloud of white gas starts billowing towards me.
Tear gas.
Oh my God, I can actually feel it.
Go, guys.
Go.
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tune in and get diverted.
On Off the Ball.